Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. This weekend, fireworks returned to Mount Rushmore for an Independence Day celebration featuring President Donald Trump. The Pennington County Republican Party planned events in Rapid City. Protesters took to the street to speak out against the president and against treaty violations. South Dakota Public Broadcasting had reporters across the state working to bring you coverage of the event. Lee Strubinger was at Mount Rushmore. Seth Tupper was in Rapid City, and they join us now for a recap. And Lee, I want to start with you. Set the scene for us because you were at the mountain all day.
Yeah, I was. I got there around 8 a.m. To get some of my recording gear into the memorial before Secret Service did a sweep of the whole area. And so, you know, throughout the morning and afternoon, helicopters were flying over doing loops around the venue. And then the memorial opened at 1, and there was already a line to get in. And, you know, the program itself didn't start until much later in the afternoon. Most, if not close to all of the attendees, were Trump supporters, and they came dressed as such. And they brought, there was like a certain energy that they definitely brought. It was kind of like going to a rock and roll concert, if you will. And that much was evident when Air Force One flew over the memorial while a Guns N' Roses song blared through the speakers.
Here is some audio of that from a video that Lee Strubinger took that day. Seth Tupper, welcome as well. And describe the scene in Rapid City. The same kind of crowd? This was sort of a spillover crowd, it was billed as.
Well, it was kind of funny. It was an opposite scene in Rapid City. The Pennington County Republican Party had planned a kind of a festival-type atmosphere in Main Street Square, which is a popular outdoor venue in Rapid City, with the idea they had music. They had pro-Trump shirts for sale there. There was a Trump-decorated race car. There was a lineup of speakers, and the only problem was hardly anybody showed up for the first few hours. The event began at about 4 o'clock, and it was blistering heat in the square. It was very, very hot, but for approximately the first 3 or 4 hours, the crowd probably topped out at 50 to 75 people, and the speakers included Jack Brewer, who's a former Minnesota Viking and has been campaigning for President Trump, and Mike Lindell, who's the founder and CEO of MyPillow, who many people know from his commercials on TV. And they showed up, and I guess their intent was to rally a large crowd, but it was a very small crowd, and they gave speeches, but the atmosphere was nothing like the rock music excitement at Mount Rushmore. It was more of a kind of a dead atmosphere, at least during the afternoon in Rapid City. And much bigger
no
crowd
Kellyanne
was anticipated,
Conway.
I think. No, yeah.
Yeah. No Kelly,
no Donald Trump Jr.
Donald Trump Jr., yeah. Okay.
No.
And we saw that they were announced and then they were not announced. Do we have any idea why they backed out? Was it because of the projected crowd size? Was it something else altogether, or were we never told?
I don't know. And of course, I know Lee will speak that we later found out that Donald Trump Jr.'s girlfriend tested positive for COVID while she was here in South Dakota. And I don't know for sure if that had anything to do with Donald Trump Jr. then not showing up at Main Street Square. But it was clear that it was a smaller crowd than anticipated. I talked to some people about that. I talked to some of the police who were set up around the memorial. They expected a bigger crowd. So whatever the reason was, at least, like I said, for the first 3-4 hours of the day, there just wasn't a crowd there.
Lee, let's talk about how this event played out for Governor Noem.
Yeah, certainly. So, you know, this was really Governor Kristi Noem's coming out party to a national audience. I mean, she has been making the rounds on various media outlets. A lot of them tend to be more conservative, but this is really a chance for, you know, the rest of Americans to kind of see what South Dakota kind of looks like under her leadership. And you know, she's been a long ally with President Trump, and you know, this is, I think, a moment that really sealed that allyship. You could really tell just based on how excited Trump was when he was sitting on the stage, and you know, definitely clapping when Kristi Noem was mentioned, and about coordinating the event and those sorts of things. And this event, I think it's worth mentioning, has been planned for over a year, but it definitely couldn't have come at a better time for Governor Noem or for President Trump. Even though President Trump's reelection campaign really needed some kind of boost following the Tulsa rally in Oklahoma a few weeks ago. I think about 6,200 people showed up to that Tulsa rally, which is similar to the capacity at the event that happened, out at Mount Rushmore. However, the zone one portion of the amphitheater was packed. It was standing room only. I mean, I think everybody kind of saw that. And as I mentioned earlier, the energy, not only was it packed, but it was that way probably from 4 o'clock on. It was just people showed up. Mary Hart, the former host of Entertainment Tonight, born and raised in South Dakota, was the official MC. And she spoke for about 8 minutes before handing things off to Noem, who introduced both the Interior Secretary, David Bernhardt, and President Trump. Senators John Thune and Mike Rounds, as well as Representative Dusty Johnson, were on stage, but they didn't speak. And Johnson was the only one who was wearing a mask who was out there on the stage.
For most of that, Mike Rounds had his on for a couple seconds and then took it off. So there was a lot of reporting and analysis. Go ahead.
Well, I think it's also worth mentioning that, moments before anyone who was on stage went on stage, or anyone who had close proximity to the president, all had COVID tests before. And so everyone who was on that stage presumably tested negative for the virus.
So there's a lot of reporting and analysis on the speech itself. You can find the Weekend Edition. Tamara Keith did an excellent breakdown, which is worth going back to listen to. But very quickly, Lee, in the interest of time, set up what Governor Noem focused on, and let's hear from her.
So, kind of much the same. It's clear that the statue removal that's kind of sweeping the country right now really bothers both President Trump and Governor Noem. And in her 11-minute speech, she welcomed everyone to the state, but then wasted little time in condemning those toppling the statues.
Across America these last several weeks, we have been witnessing a very troubling situation unfold. In real time, we are watching an organized, coordinated campaign to remove and eliminate all references to our nation's founding and many other points in our history. Rather than looking to the past to help improve our future, some are trying to wipe away the lessons of history, lessons that we should be teaching to our children and to our grandchildren. This approach focuses exclusively on our forefathers' flaws, but it fails to capitalize on the opportunity to learn from their virtues. Make no mistake, this is being done deliberately to discredit America's founding principles by discrediting the individuals who formed them, so that America can be remade into a different political image.
So, her speech wavered from condemnation of that and kind of a civics lesson about some of the people who are up on Mount Rushmore, the four presidents that are up there. Governor Noem says those who are bringing down the statues are focusing on the founding fathers' flaws rather than their virtues. So before the fireworks, several tribes had called on the faces to be removed from Mount Rushmore. And Noem's response to those calls, as we all know, was, not on my watch. And then there was some focus on the Founding Fathers' rebellion against British rule.
The rich and beautiful lands on which many of us live and in which we're now standing today are the result of men and women searching for more. At times, especially today, it seems like we're often paralyzed by the present and we're defeatist about the future. Our country was founded by dissidents and people seeking to make a better life for themselves and for their children.
About 2 miles down the hill from Mount Rushmore and in the town of Keystone, about 150 protesters used vans and themselves to shut down the road that comes into Keystone leading to the monument. And that's according to Rapid City Journal reporter Ariel Zients. 15 people were arrested and all have been released except for the organizer, Nick Tilson, who's has a hearing today in Pennington County. And I'm watching Ariel's Twitter, and been given felony charges for second-degree robbery for allegedly stealing a shield simple assault on the law enforcement officer he allegedly took the shield from, and misdemeanors for disorderly conduct and impeding the highway. Eventually, traffic was rerouted from that blockade that was set up there, and attendees were sent to enter the memorial by going around and through Hill City.
SDPB's Tina Lockett is going to join us on the program tomorrow to talk about those protests, and she was also at that hearing this morning for Nick Tilson. Seth, some protests in Rapid City. We're going to play a little audio here. First is some sound Seth captured of the protesters.
No Trump! No KKK! No racist USA! No Trump! No KKK! No racist USA! No Trump! No KKK! No racist USA! Remember, you're living on stolen land. Remember, you're living on stolen land.
And also some Trump supporters speaking out against the protesters. Here's that.
Get a job! Instead of wasting your time! Do your parents know that you're here? If you were my child, I'd be like smacking your bottom. Go read a book! Go read your Bible!
A little bit of audio from Main Street Square in Rapid City. Seth, things got a little bit busier as the night wore on, including some voices back and forth there. Tell us what you saw.
Yeah, so as the sun went down and things cooled off, I estimated there's maybe a few hundred people in the square. Still not filling it to capacity by any means, but a bigger crowd. And there were the protesters, maybe about 25 or 30, that grouped up directly diagonal from the square across the street. And it was sort of this odd, you know, reflection of America right now with across the street you had the protesters chanting and holding signs about racial justice. And then on directly across from them in the square, you had people applauding a president who, during his speech, was really shifting the conversation away from racial justice and more toward protection of statues. And it was really a divided scene, just like, you know, we've seen a divided America recently. And fortunately there were no, as far as I know, you know, there was no violence, no arrests made, anything of that nature. But there were people, you know, as I said, the protesters continued protesting throughout Trump's speech as it was live streamed on a big screen there in the square. And some Trump supporters would walk by and yell and argue with them across the street at one another. But that was the run of it. Afterward, everybody seemed to leave pretty peacefully.
Lee, we also were watching for wildfire risks. What do we know about the weather and wildfire risk now that the fireworks have gone off?
Or so after the fireworks show ended, it started to rain. I mean, as I was walking towards the parking garage from the amphitheater, I could see lightning sort of moving in from the south. I mean, it was dark out, obviously, but definitely a lot of flashes of lightning. And it rained, you know, fairly quickly, as do a lot of the rainstorms that are out here. Quick downpour, and according to Bill Gabbard of Wildfire Today, the memorial got about 17th of an inch of rain. So definitely enough to, presume, put out any embers, because I haven't seen much in the ways of any kind of fire happening out there.
And Lee, in our remaining 30 seconds, and I do mean 30 seconds, what can you tell us about Governor Noem and the potential exposure to SARS-CoV-2? What are we watching for in the days ahead?
Well, a spokesperson for the governor said, you know, she's not concerned if she contracted the coronavirus. As I mentioned earlier, Noem's COVID-19 test came back negative. And what we do know is that Guilfoyle and boyfriend Donald Trump Jr. drove back to D.C. from South Dakota. Since the fireworks video, there's been video of Noem walking with President Trump and First Lady Melania at Ellsworth. And officials at the governor's office said she did get on Air Force One and took it back to D.C. with the president. And they say she had a visit with Trump on the plane and that she's back from D.C. and in South Dakota.
We'll keep people updated. Lee Sturbinger, Seth Tupper, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks, Laurie.